Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
We have just about made it through another week. Happy Friday, everybody. Brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Who else sat through, how long would you say, Tony? 7 to 10 minutes of a guy who apparently once tweeted, "We ain't come to play school." Tell us how important getting his education was yesterday in Cardale Jones.
Maybe he's grown up in a couple of years, you know?
I guess that was a pretty home cooking reporter pool in there. Anybody want to ask him about that? You know, how do you juxtapose saying that at one point by now telling me that your education is going to take you a lot farther than the NFL will?
Did
anyone else, when they're watching the press conference, as soon as he stood up and said, "I'm planning on staying in school," kind of go, "Oh, like, what's the point of watching the rest of this?"
I was honestly surprised. Why did ESPN stay with it that long?
I know. Like, they stuck with the whole thing.
To the point where the last guy asked and got to set up his question.
It was a weird press conference.
He breathlessly said, "Cardell, you put Cleveland, I mean, the city of Cleveland, as if there's a difference,
right,
on the map." What are you talking about?
And there was some teacher from the high school that they were at, the Glenn Academy or Ginn Academy or wherever it was.
Ted Ginn's dad runs the place.
And some teacher was asking a question about, you know, what are you planning on doing in school? I'm like, who cares what Cardale Jones is planning on doing in school? And he had kind of a wandering answer to say that he wanted to be a financial planner. But it was just a weird, weird press conference. I mean, from the moment he said, "Look, I'm coming back to school." I mean, really, that should have been something that just gets released. Hey, Cardale Jones is coming back to school.
I don't have a problem with that. Peyton Manning held a press conference to say he was coming back to school. Nobody ripped Peyton Manning for having a press conference.
No, I'm not ripping the press conference. I'm just saying it was a weird press conference.
Well, I mean, he got up there, and I appreciate the fact that he didn't try to pull out a hat that said NFL and a hat that said Ohio State and flip back and forth and then say, "I know I'm transferring to James Madison. No, I'm staying in school."
I wonder if he thought about it, because that would have been, you talk about something we would have talked about forever.
He was promoting 12-gauge, whatever the hell that is. I don't know what 12-gauge is.
That's his nickname.
Oh, is that his nickname? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. See, I don't understand, though. What? Here's this whole Twitter thing. For people who don't know, he tweeted apparently at one point something like, all these annoying classes, "We ain't come to play school. We come to play football," right? Yet, when I guess that Twitter account, he deleted the Twitter account, according to Tyler's research department, right? And then somebody reactivated it. But when they reactivated it, they spelled his name wrong, and they put the number 10, not the number 12.
Right.
That's what I don't get. It says Cordale, not Cardale, Cordale with an O. That's why I thought for a while, is this even him who tweeted that, or was this just some internet trolling that was going on? And then if it were, I would have said, well, wow, they really did troll us, because this guy seems really legitimately interested in getting his education.
Yeah, the tweet was, "Why should we have to go to class if we came here to play football? We ain't come to play school. Classes are pointless."
There you go.
Really bad look for a student athlete, you know, when the NCAA wants to hide behind that shield for a few moments with these guys and pretend like they care what these guys
GPA
are doing.
Is legit.
Right, in a classroom. I mean, but look, he could have learned. He could have grown up.
He seemed like a pretty smart guy. He actually
did. For a guy who's probably dealt with the media 5 times in his entire college career, that was pretty darn polished.
He never cracked that nervous smile. You know that nervous smile where you see a lot of the young guys, they suck their lips in, right? When they say something in my mind, I'm thinking that they're thinking, "Did I just do it right?" And it's like a nervous tick, right? And none of that. He was just pretty composed about it. And look, I get the educators behind him nodding their heads. Oh, yes. Education. And that's great. It's a good message, and all that is fine.
Sure.
But it was just a strange kind of circumstance.
It really was.
You know, but honestly, some of the reaction to Mike Florio. I mean, I like Mike, but that doesn't mean I'm a blanket supporter of everything he writes. Seemed angry that he didn't choose the NFL over college football. And look, I've got a vested interest in the NFL. I do a show that is about nothing but the National Football League. And That doesn't mean I'm angry. I could care less if Cardale Jones comes out or not. I would have been fascinated to see that what happened, and it would have been a good story and would have enjoyed covering it. But
and it's one of the reasons, if you're going to make an argument for why the NFL may need a developmental league beyond what goes on in college football, which college football is a great developmental league for the NFL. The fact that they just have it sitting there.
If you're not sitting on the bench third string.
Right, but for a guy like Cardale Jones, what are his options? He's played three games, so now he's supposed to mortgage his future in the NFL as a professional on the three games he's played.
See, but what
or
you
if
say
he gets
that.
The opportunity to come back to Ohio State and play. He doesn't know. He's not going to be guaranteed anything next year at Ohio State. Does he go to a smaller school? If there was a developmental league for the NFL in this country where Cardale could say, look, I'm playing professional football here for a year or two so the NFL can see what I can do.
Where do you think he would have gone in the draft? Your guess.
Fourth round.
At worst.
Yeah.
At worst. Okay, so fourth round, you probably make a few hundred grand, right?
You're not playing.
Well, you're not guaranteed to play here. Now, he did say, I look forward to developing by getting those first-team reps all offseason.
Well, and he should be getting first-team reps this offseason, I would think.
All of them?
With the injuries, I would think that he's probably going to get a lot of the first-team reps this offseason.
Probably so. I don't know if he'll get... that doesn't mean necessarily that he'll be installed as a starter, but that's a good point.
Yep.
But look, are you not going to improve working with, you know, solely focused on your game with one of those academies that's going to prepare you for the league and working
sure.
with a quarterback's coach and a passing coach? I'm not saying he did the right or wrong thing. Good for him. It's his decision. I really don't care. It was just a strange kind of spectacle. And I really don't know why after he said it. I think they must have carved out, like, we're going to run this for 7 minutes or whatever. And then once he said, okay, I'm going back to college, why is NFL primetime or whatever the show
it's
is
NFL
in the
Live,
middle of the NFL
yeah.
Live, the middle of the afternoon, why are they continuing to cover it? Now it's a college football story. It's no longer an NFL story. Once he says, I'm going back to school. Anyway, Cardale Jones, good luck to you next
and
year.
And it's a funny situation because with a guy like Cardale Jones, say he doesn't get to play next year, just whatever circumstance, he doesn't play at Ohio State. Now he's coming out of school. I mean, there's some potential. Then maybe there isn't a lot of interest from NFL teams. Maybe that draft stock does drop down to a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick, and you never see him do anything. It could be 3 days in the sunshine for Cardale Jones and then a week of talk of whether he's going to enter the NFL draft and potentially be a guy that would be a surprise first round pick and then maybe a pick on the second day of the NFL draft too. There goes.
Right.
Dust in the wind. It's a really interesting story.
You're not throwing away your education by choosing the NFL.
No.
You can get, if you really, now I understand this point too. When I move on, I want to be done with that. I don't want to be 1 foot in, 1 foot out, worrying about getting my degree. But boy, that is a severe 180. I get, is there any other kind of 180 from a guy who said we ain't playing school?
That honestly, I think it's a guy who decided that he didn't like his position, whatever it was going to be in the NFL draft. He thinks that he can do better if he gets the opportunity
possibly.
To play and thinks that his play in those three games is going to earn him the opportunity to play for Ohio State next year. So he's not this is how I viewed the whole thing. He's not worried about not playing at Ohio State next year. He thinks he's going to be the man.
Oh, I think so, too.
When they start the season next year. So he thinks he can improve that stock, that whatever all the talent you evaluate, whatever they see, it's going to be better by the time he actually declares for the NFL draft. And the easiest thing to say, instead of saying, look, I'm going to be the starter, I'm going to be the man on campus next year, the easiest thing to stand up there and say is, I care about my education. That's what comes first. No one's going to question that. You say
I
that,
am. I'm questioning it right now.
But no one's going to question that kind of, look, if you're coming back to school, fine. He can say that. If he comes back saying, I'm going to be the man, these guys don't have a chance to have this job, this is my job now, then that's a different kind of situation for him and the team. I think that he handled it as kind of low-key as you possibly can for a guy who's going to come back and I believe be the starter from day one for Ohio State next year. How do you not put that guy on the field?
Until this time next year, he is now a problem for college football today.
Yes,
not
he
Jaguars
is.
Today. Speaking of Jaguars today, how about former Jaguar Tommy McManus going to join us in the second hour of the show or thereabouts. Tom's got a business meeting he's in right now. As soon as he gets done, he's going to hightail it over to the stadium and join us for at least a portion of the program, make his Jaguars Today debut, certainly not his 1010XL or radio debut in general. Today's fan feedback spotlight question of the day brought to you by Foundation Professionals of Florida. Simply, who do you like to win the championship games? We've got almost every permutation thrown at us already. We'll see. You know, it's obviously Seahawks, Packers in the NFC, Colts and Patriots in the AFC. Which way do you want to see it going, or which way do you think it will go this weekend? Don't know how much time we'll get to talk about this today, Tony, because we have Matt Williamson coming up from ESPN.com. He's more of a pro personnel guy, former NFL scout, and he's going to talk about the wide receiver, a potential free agents at wide receiver, how they could impact the Jacksonville Jaguars, who would be good fits, who does he think will become available, who will get franchised or re-signed by their team. Same thing with tight ends and a few other free agent odds and ends. That's coming up in about less than 10 minutes, but just wanted to at least note Daniel Jeremiah of NFL.com's first mock draft. He's an outside-the-box thinker, and it's one that is not cookie cutter, and there are a lot of differences from what you see in most of the mock drafts out there.
With most of these mock drafts, you get some kind of little blur beforehand with it's either Mel Kiper or whoever they're explaining some of their rationale for why they put it the way that they put it. There's a video, which I can't watch on the computer that I'm on. Maybe he's talking about that, but it looks like it's more of just a radio interview that he's doing. I wish that I had some kind of understanding of, is this what he thinks teams are going to do? Is this a reflection of what his board looks like and where he would rank these players? Or is this a need-based mock draft? Because it is so completely different than anything else that we've seen to this point.
It's different, but it's more to me like, you know, the Raiders are taking a receiver. It's just not Amari Cooper.
Right. So okay? is he saying that Kevin White is his favorite wide receiver in this
draft? That's the way I take it.
Right.
That's the way I take it right now, that he
you would
thinks
assume, yeah.
Kevin White would be the best fit for Oakland, and therefore he's going there. Quick look through the top 10 here. Jameis Winston at number one. That's not a shock or a surprise. Randy Gregory at two, the defensive end out of Nebraska. A lot of people don't have him going there, but some people do. That's not completely shocking to see him ranked there. But then number three, instead of Leonard Williams to the Jacksonville Jaguars, where just about everybody has him as the number one ranked overall prospect, he's got Dante Fowler Jr., from the University of Florida going there. He says Fowler has an explosive burst, strong hands, plays with fanatical effort. He'll be a great fit for Gus Bradley's defense. Not to belabor it, Kevin White, the West Virginia receiver, going to Oakland at number four. Then Leonard Williams going number five to Washington. Marcus Mariota going to the Jets at six. Shane Ray, the defensive end out of Missouri, going to the Bears at seven. Then Amari Cooper goes to Atlanta as the eventual replacement for Roddy White. Danny Shelton is a nose tackle from Washington. He's got him going to the Giants. And Trey Waynes, a cornerback from Michigan State, rounds out the top 10. And that's how it looks. You can check him out at NFL.com. We usually see him on Radio Row during Super Bowl week. So we'll try to catch up with Daniel Jeremiah and get a little bit more into his reasoning. I know people are going to look at it and say, that's crazy, that's insane, that's this. A lot of things are crazy. A lot of things are insane. People are going to say, Leonard Williams is the best player. Well, you know, if I told you a couple years ago that Russell Wilson is going to be one of the two best players in that draft, well, a lot of people would have told you that was crazy. And he's proven to be, along with Andrew Luck, the best two selections from the NFL draft. So just because it doesn't fit with the consensus doesn't mean it's necessarily wrong. All right, we got to take a timeout. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you the show every Friday. Next up, to kick us off, Matt Williamson from ESPN.com talking NFL free agency and what's possible to be available in the pool of wide receivers and tight ends if the Jags are looking to spend some money on those positions. That's up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, we continue along here. Jaguars today, 1010XL 92.5 FM on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. You know, we talked a little bit about the draft so far in this new year. Not as much time spent on free agency. Obviously, that's coming up first. March 10th is when free agency opens up, and the Jags, with a ton of cap room, figure to be heavy players, particularly, we hope, on the offensive skill side of things. And with that, let's bring in one of the guys who knows all about those offensive skill guys in the National Football League, Matt Williamson, former NFL scout, now with ESPN.com, joining us here on 1010XL. What's up, Matt? Happy New Year to you, man.
Happy New Year to you. It's great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We'll be doing really well if the Jags can spend some well-spent money on some key free agents. They're really young, Matt, as you know, on the offensive side of the football, particularly the skill positions. And it seems like there's a bumper crop of potential free agents, but I guess we'll start with asking you this. How many of these big-name guys are even going to make it to free agency when you talk about Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, Torrey Smith, Randall Cobb, Jeremy Maclin? Out of that group,
I got to believe Demaryius and Dez at least are going to re-up with their clubs.
They're going to get franchised. You know, there's no way they get out of town. I don't think that's a secret. You know, that's the thing. Is this time of year, no offense to Jaguar fans, but teams like the Jags that have a lot of money and the Raiders that need a lot of things are looking at their Christmas list saying, boy, there's so many free agents out there. Let's go get Justin Houston. Let's get Dez Bryant. Let's get Demaryius Thomas. Well, their teams aren't going to let those guys go. And talking to people in the know, there's probably going to be four or five, maybe six franchise tags being dealt out. But between now and when the day the free agency opens, some of these teams are going to look, or some of these players are going to look back and say, I'm not real excited to leave town. I'm in a good situation. You know, Jeremy Maclin might be that type of guy. Randall Cobb might be that type of guy to say, boy, why do I want to leave? I might take a little less, stay here, and win a lot of games.
And Torrey Smith is a guy who's already come out and said, I'd like to stay in Baltimore before free agency opens up. I hope to get a new contract. I mean, to me, he was kind of that level where he still would be a significant upgrade, I think, for what the Jaguars have, but not quite at that franchise level that maybe things shake loose. Let's take a look at Randall Cobb here. You look at the way the Green Bay Packers build that team. You know, talking to some people up there in Green Bay, the sense I get is, if he wants too much money, they are a draft and develop team more than maybe anybody in the NFL. They've got Davante Adams ascending right now. They've got Jordy Nelson locked up. Could he be maybe the one guy out of this group that does shake loose?
Yeah, I think he will. They recently locked up Nelson, who fits more of the prototypical number one, you know, receiver by NFL standards. Adams looks great. You know, we just saw him this past weekend, but I was really high on him coming out of Fresno State. You know, in most rookie classes, I don't think he would have ever lasted the second round. You know, it's just so many receivers that the Packers benefited from that. And they're not big name guys, but they used three picks last year on wide receivers. Abendaris from Wisconsin and Janis too, who's a really talented guy from small school that could be developing. So I think they've kind of set themselves up to move on from Cobb. But you've mentioned it too. He's not like, there's not many comparisons for him out there. You know, he's a slot guy, but you can hand him the ball. He's a good returner. They don't have somebody like him in the wings.
Right. The return aspect would be a big calling card as well. The Jags could certainly use an upgrade. They're hoping Tandon Doss comes back healthy and helps the punt return game, but you never know. What about, I mean, I'm not saying Marquise Lee is on the level of Randall Cobb, but in terms of similarity in stature, where you want to play him, the type of routes you want to run, would that be too much duplication in the Jaguar wide receiver core?
No, I don't think so. I think Lee is best off. I mean, if those two walked in the room, I think Lee looks a lot more slender, more of an outside the numbers build, in my opinion, where Cobb is more of the Welker. You know, he's more of the move the chains slot guy, sturdier build, a little bit shorter, not as long features, you know. So I don't think that would be a problem at all. The one thing that I think you and I might disagree with, though, is if I'm rebuilding the Jags and I'm looking for premium free agents, I don't know that skill position is where I'd go. You know, I mean, there's so many good pass rushers in this free agency group. I might go that direction. I might just be higher on Robinson, Hearns, and Lee than the consensus is, although I will say none of those guys is a true number one. I think Robinson has a chance to be.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And I think the sense is, though, that Dave Caldwell, the Jags GM, realizes, and even said so in his season-ending comments, he should have gone a little more veteran-heavy than what he had. And
yeah,
they had Cecil Shorts, but most of us feel he's gone. He's just not reliable. You can't count on him to be healthy week in, week out. And whereas I agree with you, I'd love to see a Jason Pierre-Paul come here to Jacksonville. That'd be phenomenal. I think the sense is they're going to try to get some pass rush help with that third pick. They don't want to get any younger, for sure, on the offensive side, as much as people take a look at a guy like Amari Cooper near the top of the draft. What do you make of a guy like Michael Crabtree at this stage of his career?
I like that suggestion. You know, I think he is this is probably about as good a chance to buy low on a guy like him. I think he's really good out of the slot, catches everything, very, very physical. Too often has been miscast as a deep threat in San Francisco. Bolden's kind of that type of guy, too, as an underneath guy, move the chains, that they really lack the deep threat. So at times they use Crabtree that way, which isn't fair to him. He is the reliable veteran. You know, I mean, if you could swap out Shorts for Crabtree and not cost yourself too much money, which right now is a great time to buy on Crabtree. I like that addition a lot.
How much does a vet like Nate Washington have left in the tank on a short-term kind of situation?
It'd be a real short-term situation. I mean, I think he's a one-year deal, not guaranteed to start type of player. He's revolutionized himself since his Pittsburgh days and has become a much more refined player, you know, where before he used to be all athletic ability. But I think he can do better.
What about Kenny Britt?
If you trust him, you know, it sounds as though he's become the team guy, you know, with Fisher and the Rams. Played pretty well this year. I think you're at the right level there. I mean, if you're going to, you're not going to spend monster money on a receiver, but I could see you wanting to get a Crabtree, a Britt, somebody that you can trust. And that's crazy to even say that about Britt, considering
right. His
early career, you know, that's somebody you can trust. But by all accounts, he's become that type of guy and sort of a team leader for the Rams.
Matt Williamson here with us from ESPN.com, taking a look at some impending, hopefully impending free agents, at least from the Jags' perspective. The more in the pool, the better chance you have. Tight end's another position. Mercedes Lewis is what he is, and what that isn't is a dynamic pass catcher receiving threat, a guy that you know, they hoped he would be able to stretch the seam. Got hurt again this year. Inconsistent hands has been the story of his career. He had the one big year that seems like an anomaly with 10 touchdowns. You got Julius Thomas. Does he shake free? Because I think if Peyton comes back, Matt, doesn't it make sense if they can work out a deal with Demaryius that they might even spend the franchise tag on Julius just for that one year to keep the band together?
Right. You know, take another shot. That's a tough one to call because they don't have a head coach right now. What's their scheme going to be? We were just talking on the podcast today that if Kubiak takes over, which I would say he's the leader in the clubhouse, and he's an Elway favorite, he was Elway's backup quarterback, that's a really, really tight end heavy system. If Kubiak brings his system to Denver, that they would really have to go out of their way to try to keep Julius. No matter what, I think Demaryius Thomas has to be their top priority. But there's a lot of time now to, like you said, that if you can get a deal done with him, franchise Julius, go all in for 1 year and, you know, hope that Peyton is Peyton again, that seems to make sense. But from a Jaguars perspective, I would look at Julius Thomas and say, boy, I bet he's going to be expensive. And I could see him being a lot less productive in his second stop than he was in Denver.
Well, you would think he's going to be less productive in just about any system.
No question.
Yeah, Peyton's thrown. Look, for as much as the Denver fans were booing that offense this week, he gave him 94 touchdown passes in the last two regular seasons. Some other good quality guys there, though. A guy like Charles Clay in the mix. Jordan Cameron, I don't know if I trust his health. What do you make of some of the second-tier tight ends in this group?
Yeah, I like Clay a lot as an overall football player. Much different player than Lewis, which I think would be attractive to Jacksonville.
Sure.
That he can actually take a carry here and there. Smaller guy, but much quicker. You get him on a linebacker, and he's going to exploit that all day. I mean, I could see him quickly being Blake Bortles' best friend. You know, I like that pickup quite a bit. That one and Crabtree are the two names that jump out that you've mentioned that I think could really be what they're after. You know, I mean, somebody that has some veteran skills that have been in the league for a while. And who was the other you mentioned?
Jordan Cameron. Can you trust his concussion history?
No, but that's why you pay team doctors. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here in my Pittsburgh home, and I don't have a doctorate degree. I didn't go to med school. If your doctors say, boy, he has no pension for it more than the next guy, then I think you're interested, because when he's on the field, he would be a great guy for that team.
What about Jermaine Gresham at this stage of his career?
I'm not overly enthralled with him. You know, I thought he had an okay year. He's certainly not a field stretcher. I would say he's too Lewis-like.
I think so, too. I don't think he's dynamic enough. I think they want that guy that can stretch the seam a little bit. And, you know, I think they realize they're probably going to have to overpay whoever they go after, whether that is
probably
a Julius Thomas or a Charles Clay. I mean, for one thing, you're coming to a team that's won seven games in the last 2 years, you know? So
that's bad business, and that's never a great way to operate. But, you know, I think the Jags and the Raiders have to do that, and both those teams do have a lot of cap room. So maybe at this stage in their development, it's worth paying 10% more than the other teams in the league to get your guy. You mentioned the draft, though, too. I think it's worth noting when you're talking skill position players for the Jags that this isn't a very good tight end class. It's a really deep running back class, and the receivers aren't as good as last year but are pretty decent.
That's Matt Williamson from ESPN.com, former NFL scout. More of our conversation with him coming up in just a few minutes. A couple of pieces of news for you. One, Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union, I believe the first to report, tweeting out this morning that now former Buffalo offense coordinator Nathaniel Hackett will interview with the Jacksonville Jaguars for the job. Twitter is a buzz. This may be the first guy that anyone has yet to completely bury under 5 miles of rubble.
Mark Trestman, when the day that the whole thing got announced that Jed Fish was being released, you know, there was a lot of buzz for Trestman potentially being the next offensive coordinator, but I think since that day, this is the most buzz I've seen from at least Jaguars Twitter on any of the names that have come out, and I kind of understand why. When you go and look at some of the Buffalo feeds from the guys that cover the Buffalo Bills up there, they feel like Hackett's a really good offensive mind and that Marone got in his way. Like, Marone kind of toned down everything they wanted to do on offense. And when you go back and look at what they were doing at Syracuse, now I know that's college compared to the NFL with a quarterback that eventually wound up as a fourth-round pick and Ryan Nassib. They ran over 1,000 plays in 2012. And if Gus is talking about wanting to have a high-tempo offense, that is high-tempo offense.
Well, I don't know if he's talking about high-tempo because he clarified, you know, when he says play fast, he wants you to be able to play with a clear mind and be able to process quickly instead of having all these disparate things going on. I'm still we got to get Gus in here. We probably obviously won't get a chance to do that until after the Senior Bowl. He's not coming to the Super Bowl this year, so right. For us it'll at least be a couple of weeks and really sit down and talk with him about his philosophy on offense. But that's the latest guy they're looking at,
and apparently he's a super high energy guy too,
right, personality wise yeah. Right, and also lacking in the hair department like yes. Gus Bradley, so he's got that going for him as well. So maybe the TV cameras can once again focus on the wrong coach and put Gus Bradley's name under him on
could
the
be.
TV screen. Also, Tony, I don't think most of these guys that they've talked to have been all that inspiring. You know, I mean,
really, you
hear the name Greg Olsen, you're like, well, he was here when Malarkey was here, and right. You know, whether or not that season's offense is completely attributable to him working with the quarterbacks, you know, Blaine Gabbert certainly didn't turn out to be a superstar as the understatement of the year. It's still there are no names that were, I don't think, generating buzz because there are no names worthy of generating buzz necessarily. Doesn't mean you, by the way, just because he's creating buzz doesn't mean he'd be good. If they don't hire Nathaniel Hackett and they hire somebody else who wasn't a buzzy kind of name, doesn't mean that guy couldn't be the best guy
in the
job.
League.
Right.
Yeah.
Just do the job well. Exactly. Right. It's Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Again, the Foundation Professionals of Florida fan feedback spotlight asking you simply, who do you think are going to win the two championship game matchups? In other words, which matchup will we see in Super Bowl 49 coming up in a couple weeks? Also coming up today on Jaguars Today, former Jaguar linebacker and former broadcast partner of mine, Tom McManus, joins us on the show here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac today and every Friday since 1905. Claude Nolan Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. They have the absolute largest selection of newer used Cadillacs in Jacksonville and absolutely no dealer fees as well. And by the way, they're the only Cadillac dealer here in North Florida selling and servicing the ELR. Have an on-site body shop. They'll paint and repair any Cadillac model. They're guaranteed to offer you the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac, only a step away. Build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or visit 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Jerry Seinfeld would have been better off getting his Cadillac for his dad from Claude Nolan. He wouldn't have had all those problems down at Del Boca Vista.
That's right.
He wouldn't have been ousted as the what would he be? The head of the what do they call that?
Oh, the center.
The condominium board, whatever it was.
The retirement center, wherever it was. It was one of those little retirement communities.
Yes. Tommy McManus will be joining us coming up at some point later on in the broadcast. And he'll join us in studio. Take your calls when Tom's in at 641-1010 if you want to get his opinion on anything related to the Jags, offense coordinator opening, Gus Bradley, the coaching staff, their play on the field this year, where they're headed in the future. It's all wide open to you. Free agency, the draft, any of that stuff. Tom, we'll look forward to reuniting here on the radio coming up here shortly. Also coming up today, this date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL. Did you touch on yesterday, because it's not really a story for today so much, the Ray Lewis comments on Tom Brady? I can't remember if you mentioned that yesterday in the Honda drive around
the
NFL.
No, I did not.
You know, I know Ray Lewis is now seriously trying to backtrack because he doesn't understand that words actually have meaning when he says that Tom Brady wouldn't be known if it weren't for the Tuck rule. Now he's saying, oh, no, he's one of the all-time great quarterbacks, blah, 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 blah. Then why'd you say it in the first place? My initial reaction was it was the equivalent of Tom Brady saying, you know, if it weren't for that pesky obstruction of justice in a murder case, we wouldn't know about that Ray Lewis fellow.
Sure.
That's kind of how I felt about it.
Ray Lewis is also the same guy that he thought the NFL killed the lights at the Super Bowl on purpose. So
he ain't the only one, buddy. And I'm not saying me, but they're all
trust me. There's a big conspiracy theory.
There's a cottage industry in that one. And you know what? I could believe that a lot sooner than I believe most of what comes out of Ray Lewis's mouth. So that's just me.
He had one of my one of the worst moments on television all year, when the whole Ray Rice situation came up and ESPN and all the talking heads there were reacting to the video and the suspension, and Ray Lewis on television with all of the backstory with Ray Lewis went on ESPN and said, there are some things you can cover up and there are some things you can't. And as soon as they said it, I was like, right, there are some things someone could say.
Ruh-roh.
There are some things you shouldn't be saying.
It's interesting because you never see Ray wearing a white suit on any of
Unreal.
His NFL Network coverage. Of course, you can't find that white suit from however many years ago that was either. Still hasn't turned up, Tony. Don't know
but
where it
likeable.
Is.
He's likable. He's got a big personality.
Oh, well, it's some people. I guess he's likable in some circles, but not in all. Not in all. All right, back to my conversation with Matt Williamson from ESPN.com, former NFL scout, now more of a pro personnel guy, more than a draft guy, but he dabbles in that. We talked about the offensive skill guys, and we pick up part two of the conversation with me expressing to him that, you know, I don't know if it matters that much what they do at the skill positions if they can't protect Blake Bortles.
If they can't block it up, it's not going to matter. And I was so impressed with the offensive line play in this past weekend's divisional round of the playoffs, really across the board. And, you know, you see guys, you know, this guy in Baltimore, I don't even know what his name is. Eugene Monroe misses the game. They throw a rookie in at left tackle, and he's stoning Chandler Jones all day. And meanwhile, it's a jailbreak half the time here in Jacksonville. Bulaga, what's the chance that you could shake him free from Green Bay, Brian Bulaga?
Yeah, they have a lot of guys up. I could see him hitting the open market. You know, if I'm Jacksonville, to begin the season, I said they had the worst offensive line in the league. I believe that probably through the midway point of the year, but I thought they actually got better. I mean, I'm not saying I don't see a Pro Bowler in the group, don't get me wrong, and I think Jokel is highly disappointing considering where you guys drafted him. But Bowanko and Beatles and especially Linder.
Yeah, Linder's the guy. Yeah.
Linder's good, yeah. I mean, I think that interior three is good enough. If you can land a really good tackle, maybe move Jokel back to the right side. And to me, that's not nearly as big a ordeal as it looked to be just a couple weeks ago. One tackle would go a long way. I like the Bulaga name a lot.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, if there's one free agent, if I could only have one, he would be the guy because I think he would have a ripple effect. Obviously, they want to sign more than one. I don't know if they're going to sign more than a couple top-tier guys, but they're going to bring in definitely depth to compete on the offensive line. Let's look beyond the Jags at a couple of key spots around the league. DeMarco Murray, the reports are Cowboys offered him a four-year deal, a little over $4 million. Is he going to get a better deal than that on the open market, and do you expect him back in Dallas next year?
Yeah, I just wrote an article, actually, an ESPN Insider article, and I listed seven or eight teams that I think would be interested if he hits the open market, led by Dallas. My hunch is, and I don't know this, but it's kind of like a Demaryius Thomas situation, that Dez Bryant has to be their priority there. I mean, he's a much better player, in my opinion, much more important, much more difficult to replace. So I think you franchise Dez or try to talk him into a long-term deal. Definitely would not franchise Murray. And honestly, I wouldn't be super excited to bring him back. And my hunch is he's going to hit the open market. He's going to sign somewhere else, and Dallas is going to say, well, we offered him a four-year deal for
right.
$4 million. You know? Meanwhile, he signs for six or seven with the Titans or somebody else.
You had him feeling the whole year. You had the feeling that they're running him into the ground and just kind of run the wheels off because he was an impending free agent. I mean, 500 touches is an obscene amount.
It's insane. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, he took the words right out of my mouth there. That's an unbelievable amount of touches with no regard for the future. You keep hearing that, boy, we'd like to bring Adrian Peterson here. You know, and if you compare Adrian Peterson on last viewing compared to DeMarco Murray, they're not even close. I mean, Peterson would run for 500 more yards than Murray did this year. You know, and Murray's a good player. He's not a great player. And even going back to college, he's had a lot of injuries himself. So I would be very hesitant to be an investor in DeMarco Murray after what they did to him this year.
Well, what about Adrian Peterson? Rick Spielman said, hey, of course we want him back. Any team in the NFL would love to have Adrian Peterson. Do they want him back at his present projected salary and cap figure? And this is obviously presuming he gets cleared to return in short order to the National Football League.
Well, two guys that stood out to me before the season that were and been fixtures of their team, Larry Fitzgerald and Adrian Peterson, you know, talking to cap guys, everyone said no matter what, those two cannot return to their respective teams in 2015 for the numbers they're making. And that was before Peterson got in trouble off the field.
Right.
So, I mean, yes, sure, we want Adrian Peterson back, but I think Jarrett McKinnon's a decent player. You know, you could use a third-round pick on another back and use that money somewhere else as opposed to bringing back Peterson and his baggage. But if you bring him to Dallas or you bring him to a team that is a running back away, you know, from someone that's more of a contender, I could see him having a monster season, but I don't think you can bring him back for his current cap hit.
All right, let's wrap it up with this. Is it safe to say that Mark Sanchez may be the best available quarterback in the free agent market?
Ooh, I think that's brutal, and you might be right. Maybe Ryan Mallett, just because there's some unknown to him.
Yep.
Sam Bradford, I think, will hit the open market or something. He's another one that's not going to return to the Rams at his current cost. You know, at least there's some upside there as a former first overall pick. Man, it's rough. I mean, I would be in the market for – I would send Tampa Bay a fifth-round pick for Mike Glennon before I would sign Sanchez.
Yeah, good point. And I know Dirk Cutter going in there said, hey, we really liked Mike Glennon from afar when he was coaching in Atlanta. But it really seems like the consensus is the Bucs are going to have to pull the trigger on one of those quarterbacks at the top of the draft. I know you're more of the pro side of things, but, you know, if you are the Bucs, Winston, Mariota, as it stands today in early or mid-January, which way would you go?
Just watching from my lazy boy on TV like a casual fan, I think Winston's the better prospect on the field. You know, he's really something, and that's on a knock on Mariota. He's very impressive, too. I don't think either one of them is Andrew Luck coming out of school, but I think they're both top five overall picks every draft class. And if Winston can convince me off the field that he's not a knucklehead, that would be my pick. You know, I think he's got a chance to be a really good NFL player.
How big of a hill is that to climb for him with front offices? I mean, do you think there are teams that will completely write him off the draft board, or is some of that overblown?
I don't think he'll be totally off the draft board for anyone, but, I mean, to spend the first overall pick on him
right
when somebody as clean as Mariota is right there as well, I think is going to be tough, you know, but I could see the Jets or, you know, some of these teams picking 3, 4, 5 overall, maybe being in the market for him. And the thing with the Bucs, though, is you look at Lovie Smith's quarterback history. I mean, he kind of wants the most boring, don't make mistake guy he can find. And I'm not sure that that's the mold for Winston.
Jags, Matt, I know I said we're wrapping up. I got to ask you this. Jags looking at some offensive coordinator candidates. Some of the names recently that have been mentioned include Doug Marrone, Greg Olsen, even Adam Gase. Anybody you would say this is a guy you should be looking at if he's not on that list, or who would be your preference out of that small group?
I guess Gase. And I worry that he's been a little inflated because he's got a lot of checkers to play with, including,
sure,
you know, Manning. But by all accounts, and I know some people in that organization, they really talk highly of him, that he's got a very bright future. So, yeah, I think that would be a home run for Jacksonville.
All right, Matt Williamson, you can read him at ESPN.com and get some of his great insight and check out his chats, which I do as well, where he talks about his musical taste. I told you, you had me singing Men at Work's Overkill for about a day after your last chat, Matt. But great stuff as always, man. Happy New Year. Look forward to catching up with you again sometime before free agency hits, and we appreciate you coming on today.
Perfect, man. I appreciate it.
You got it. Matt Williamson, ESPN.com, here with us on 1010XL 92.5 FM. We'll be back with this date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL next on Jaguars Today.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. January 16th, 1972, Tony. Different game, I suppose. 19 passes for the Super Bowl-winning quarterback. That would be Roger Staubach. 12 out of 19, threw a couple of touchdowns. Cowboys won 24-3. Sure, that was a thriller, right, over the Miami Dolphins. That was Super Bowl VI back in the day. More, not so much because of the style of play, but 24-3. Doubt that was very compelling as a football game. We've been spoiled. We've got, last year was a blowout. It was a fun, to me it was a fun blowout to watch. Not all of them are. We've gotten some really good games over the last decade plus.
No, we really have.
Going about 15, 20 years of getting, it's a brutal Super Bowl matchup. So happy birthday, 1972 as well, same day. The guy who brought the end zone celebration to the telecommunication age, Joe Horn. Born on this date in 1972, and then one of my all-time fantasy heroes, 1973, Mario Bates, former NFL running back. My first head-to-head team. Joe Coward and I, co-owners of a team, like 98 playoffs. Arizona playing Minnesota, they would get blown out like 41-42-21. Mario Bates in the playoffs. We were playing in a league that extended in the playoffs. Had 4 carries for 3 yards. Those 3 yards resulted in 3 1-yard touchdowns.
Yeah, that was the divisional round. They beat the Cowboys.
They beat the Cowboys right? The week before. Mario Bates touched it 4 times in that game and gave Joe and I a championship in our fantasy league. All right, there you go. This state football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Their mission to fabricate and install the highest quality product at a competitive price while providing you unsurpassed customer service. Give them a call at 268-1638 to get a professional free estimate or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That's this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, according to league sources, the Washington Redskins have hired Bill Callahan as their new offensive line coach. Callahan is expected to be getting a 3-year deal from Washington, and he took the job despite apparent offers to be the offensive coordinator in a few other spots. The New York Giants have hired Steve Spagnuolo as their new defensive coordinator to replace Perry Fuel, whom they parted ways with last week. This will be Spagnuolo's second stint as the Giants defensive coordinator. He was there in 07 and 08 and part of the Giants team that beat the 18-0 Patriots in the Super Bowl. The NFL's director of football development, Matt Burke, told the Associated Press yesterday that the NFL will be holding a Veterans NFL Combine this year on March 22nd in
Maybe
Phoenix,
McManus
Arizona.
Will be there.
Maybe. The Combine is set for the day before owners' meetings in Phoenix. The idea is to get veteran free agents together to allow teams to take a look at those players side by side in order to better evaluate them as opposed to having to have to host them at individual sites for workouts. So an interesting idea from the NFL there to have these rookies coming off their, or at least guys coming off that first contract, third, fourth year players, maybe not the marquee free agent names, but to get them all in one place so all the teams can take a look at them, certainly an interesting idea. For
right, well, it's a money saver, too, as you look around, teams fly in, 6-8 different guys on a Tuesday to work these guys out. At least here you get a baseline of what these guys may be doing in the offseason. We all remember Tom McManus's attempt to come back with the Jacksonville Jaguars. If there's a guy, by the way, Tony, who can speak to the fraternization rules in the NFL between players and cheerleaders, this is my man. Tommy Mack is here. How are you, Tom?
Hi, Dabs. How you doing?
Welcome into Jaguars
so fat,
today.
Tony.
What's going on, Tommy?
You're not that fat, man. What are you talking about?
No, I'm not skinny, but I'm not fat.
You look good. You look good.
You don't know the reason he's called Fat Tony?
I don't think so, no.
Fat Tony, when I first met Tony, Hacker brought him in when we were all at 9:30.
Okay. Yep.
Hacker was my producer, and he brought in Tony. It was an intern at the time. And he said, my name's Tony Smith. And I'm like, well, that just sounds fake. That sounds like you're in witness protection.
Yeah, right.
And he was probably, Fat Tony something or other, in a former life.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's
wow.
Where that came
it's
from.
It stuck.
Yeah. It's good. That's right. Good.
You don't nickname yourself, Tommy. You know how those things
No,
work.
I know. I've got plenty of nicknames. Some are good.
Meathead.
Some, yeah.
At Meathead55 on Twitter. How you doing, man? You looking
good? I'm doing
good.
I'm feeling pretty good, Debs. How about you, man? What an upgrade. You kidding me?
What, the studio? Yes. The digs? Mean, the whole nine yards?
Inside the stadium?
I mean, I like pulling in and seeing the big Everbank facade every day when
Heck
I pull
yeah.
in.
Heck yeah. And you got the Roar Pro Bowl Wall of Honor.
Right through the window. This window wasn't here when we started the show.
No, oh, no
they
kidding.
Cut this window, oh, what, good. Maybe like 7 months ago, Tony, something
yeah,
like that.
They were
so.
Curious
so Mr.
What we were
Khan
doing.
Can come by, and if you get out of line, he's
pretty
like,
much.
Yo, knock it off.
More yeah. for us to, you know, I don't think there's anything to see going on in here, but we get to see, you know, it's amazing. We talk about the accessibility of this coaching staff. You know, whatever you think about their performance, we're going to get to your thoughts on all that coming up. Hey, Gus is always in here. He's, you know, just popping his head in. Dave Caldwell, these guys, you know, it is definitely a more open regime than I've ever seen it here in Jacksonville.
They're very likable guys. I mean, you know, from a personal standpoint, right? I mean, they're actually Dave and Gus go to the same church as I do down at Ponte Vedra. Get to see them out in the, you know, in public. They're nice guys, you know, and very, very approachable. So that's always a positive.
Well, if you want to get in today, Tom McManus, we got him for the next hour.
Yeah, can 6 hours or not?
We can. You and I, we can sit here and talk for 6 hours.
I know we can.
I think they're going to cut the mics in about an hour from now. But, Tommy, there's so many different ways we want to go here with you today. Give me your thoughts just on the season and Blake Bortles, obviously the centerpiece.
Yeah.
Were you happy with, did you see development? Were you disappointed? Were you frustrated? What were your emotions watching this season this year?
Very frustrated and disappointed. You know, and here's, you know, and I like Bortles a lot. That's a big positive. I think he's going to be a heck of a player. I think, obviously being a rookie's tough at the quarterback position. But, you know, listen, you go back to a year ago, you're 4-12. You started 0-8. You went 4-4 the last 8 games. You thought some momentum. You thought some good things were going to happen. You had a few things and then, it just, you know, doesn't work out the way you thought. So, you know, I'm a fan. You know, I'm a former player, but I'm a fan. We watch every Sunday. My in-laws come in. My mom comes in. You know, we have meals. We have some drinks. We watch the game. We get excited. And then we're left, you know, pretty disappointed. So overall, I would say, in my opinion anyway, disappointed.
Well, and that's what you're here for, your opinion. And that's, you know, so I know you've expressed that opinion on youth not being an excuse. It's a reality though that there is a lot of youth, but that's a choice that they made as well.
Yeah, it's their choice. You know, and let's you know, look, first of all, there are positives. There's a lot of positives of this team. I think the defense played pretty well overall. Now early on they had some obviously issues you know, with coverage and that type of thing, but the D-line's awesome. I'll take that D-line any day of the week. I think the backers, obviously Pod's getting hurt, but you know, I think the backers are good and the DBs are going to be okay. We could talk about the safety position. I think that needs some work. But, you know, listen, I do think when you have a rookie QB and young wideouts, I will give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt on the young side, because it's all about timing. Right? You gotta get used to the timing. And I'll use Pete Mitchell as a reference here, cause he would always say, there's a clock ticking in my head as I'm running my route. If I get a clean route, I know when to turn. If I get jammed at the line or someone bumps me and I get off course, I know when I have to turn and that ball is gonna be there. So, it does take some time for that to develop. And I understand that. I think, you know, rookie, or young wide receivers, what's their biggest challenge? Getting off the press. You know, you don't face a lot of press.
Guys play you 7 yards off the line in college.
Exactly. Yeah.
The guys doing it aren't men.
No,
that are
right,
pressing you
right.
In
but, you know, and listen, this is, and we'll get to the O-line, but once you start playing, you're not a rookie in my book anymore. I mean, you're playing. You're out there. Now, granted, maybe not game one, maybe not game three, but come on, midway through the year, you should be figuring some stuff out. You should be playing at a better level. The question I would have is, overall, did they get better as the season went on? Did the O-line get better as the season went on? I think that's pretty debatable.
Well, what do you think? Right, I think it is debatable, but where do you land on that debate?
I think the O-line needs an attitude adjustment. You know what my favorite part of last weekend was? The scrum. The Green Bay Packer O-line saying, you know what,
talking
screw
about
you,
that all week.
I'm coming after you. You don't do that to one of our guys. I'm going to get after you. And I love that. That was my favorite moment of the entire weekend. I want the offensive line of the Jacksonville Jaguars to act like that every single snap, every single
game. Let's go get Brian Bulaga.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the guy. He is a free agent. He's 26 years old now. He's had some injury issues, but when he's on the field, he plays with that attitude, and I think he's the best available of that lot. And I think if you can't upgrade that unit, then a lot of what you're going to try to do at the skill positions may not matter as much.
Well, you know what? Listen, they're athletic. You got to give them that. They're big enough, although Joko's probably got to get a little bit more stronger at the point of attack. With that being said, I think they need an attitude. They need some tenacity. They need to, you know what, I'm going to drive you into the ground. I'm going to, lay on you when I got you down. I'm going to embarrass you every single chance I get. I think that's a tone setter. You know, if you think of a team, your own D-line are your identity. Now, the D-line had an identity. They get after you.
Right.
They're coming every single game, and I love that. What's the O-line's identity? Don't give me Young. Yeah, I mean, gosh dang, if I heard that one more time throughout the year, I was going to go crazy. Because here's the thing. Are you young because you can't figure out scheme, or are you young because you're getting overpowered or beat by the quickness? And if you're young because you're getting beat by power or quickness, then maybe you're not up to the task to be a starting offensive lineman in this league. You know what I mean?
The frustrating thing for me was watching Baltimore play with two rookies on the offensive line this week, and including the guy that filled in for Eugene Monroe.
Yeah.
And Chandler Jones didn't get a sniff of Joe Flacco
in that game. I know.
You know?
Yeah, and you look at Dallas, too, how they built. You know, they've got some young old linemen, and they're very good, and they're cohesive.
But they're young, but they were – I mean, that team, though, three first-round picks that are all maturing at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little bit different than the route. Although the Jags left tackle, I agree with you. We'll get into the future, Joko, where you think he'll be in a couple of years, the offense, the decision to let go of Jed Fish and all that. We'll do that, though, after this timeout. 6-4-1-10-10 is an hour. If you want to get in with Tom McManus, pick his brain, get his opinion. Talk to Tommy about a little Jaguar football, whether it's what they should do in free agency, targets for the draft, what have you, what kind of offensive coordinator they should be looking for, and what the future holds and what the expectation should be in 2015. All that and more on the table. Mike Dempsey, Tom McManus, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today, Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, joined by Double Nichols, Tom McManus.
Yeah, this is great, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, brother, you know, we don't run into each other that often.
Right.
But I saw you out there. You were doing the 20 for 20 with David Lamb on one of the pregames. And I said, let's just get you in after the season, talk a little football.
Brought my 13-year-old daughter.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, you always got an angle with the ladies, man. You're a big family man.
Yeah.
I trust that everybody's doing well.
They're awesome. I have a wonderful wife, and the kids are great.
And when I was kidding about the fraternization, but your wonderful wife was a former Pro Bowl cheerleader.
She is.
I don't know technically, Tony, if the players were allowed to date cheerleaders in Tommy's day.
McManus charm is all I can say.
I think it was worth breaking the rules for.
Right? You know, actually, the story is we didn't date till after she was done. Nobody,
is that right?
Yeah, nobody believes
me. I still don't believe.
Yeah, it was the summer after she went to the Pro Bowl. I met her the 99 summer. Summer of 99, isn't it? That's a song.
It should be, if it's not. It's a song for the new generation here.
Right.
Tom, let's get to expectations. I mean, we could go so many different directions, but what does this team need to do to satisfy you personally and the fan base at large, in your opinion? Not everyone's going to be satisfied by the same thing, but is it a win total? Is it a style of play? Is it a level of play? I'm talking about this upcoming season.
At the end of the day, it's wins. You know, you got to win. You got to win. I mean, you know, I don't want to go Al Davis on us, but you have to win. That's the name of the game. I mean, you have to be a team that is going to at least vie for the playoffs. I mean, now, granted, it's not maybe, you know, fair to say every year, but you got to be close. You got to look. I was thinking about this ever since he asked me to come on. Gosh, our fan base is loyal. They've been through the ringer, haven't they?
Unreal.
I mean, they really have. We had the great success. Jack had a little bit of success and then a lot of not success. And then obviously what's happened the past 3 years. But they come out and they cheer this team on. I mean, I come almost every week, you know, the home games. I love coming. And granted, you know, Mr. Khan's done a phenomenal job of the experience. You know, I don't like all the noise. You know, it kind of distracts me. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Or you got the lights, you got this, you got the cabanas, you got the DJ, which is crazy. But you know, I just want to see a great football team. And I'm not one, you know, and look, at the end of the day, Debs, and you guys know this, I love this team. I love the city. I love the organization. I want them to win. I want them to get back to those days of when it was just awesome to be here. You know, when you're going to work on a Monday and you're jacked up because your team just, you know, kicked the crap out of somebody the day before. And then Friday, you know, you're wearing your Jag colors. You're all jacked up for the next, you know what I mean? I want them to get back to that. And that to me is what it's all about. So the expectations is win. You have to win.
Is there a number? I mean, is it 8? Is it 7? Is it 9? Is it, you know, being contention for a wild card spot when December opens up? What is it?
I like the last thing you said. Playing for something in December, whether it's a wild card, whether, you know, maybe the division's a little far-fetched, but playing for something. So obviously you got to have a winning record at that time, you know, whether it's 8-4 or 7-5 or whatever the case may be. So, you know, listen, if they went 500 next year and didn't make the playoffs, that would be good.
Big,
you know,
jump.
Yeah, it's 3-8. I'd take that. I think most people take that, knowing that the following year we've got some real, you know, shot at being a playoff team. I'm just not one of those. I don't get into the effort. There was no quit in them. What kind of crap is that? I mean, you're a pro. You're a man. I don't get it. I don't get
it. I know you say that, and I know that because that's how you were as a player, but there are instances of pro athletes, as much as we want to shake our head over it, that do give up, you know, that just this kind of mail it in, that the season's getting out of hand. So there is something to be said, I think, even though you should come to expect it from a professional athlete, I don't think it's that way universally across the board.
Well, yeah, but on the same token, Mike, I mean, guys that get big deals, they mail it in the next year.
True.
We've seen it here.
We've seen it everywhere.
You see it everywhere. But so that's the makeup of your team. So I just don't, you know, to me, everyone says it's a privilege. I don't think it's a privilege to play in the NFL, but it is an honor to play in the NFL.
Well, you earn the right to play in the NFL. Yeah. They didn't bestow it upon you.
Right, exactly.
So.
Can I look up the bestow? Big man.
Shut up, Boston College.
You got the big time here at Big Words.
I'm
only kidding. But, you know, listen, I think, you know, 8-8 would be a nice target, and if it's more, that's fantastic. If it's one game less, no, I'm not going to say like, oh, the season was a disaster. But, you know, playing for something in December, I think that would be something that would be fantastic.
Give me the critique. Give me, from your vantage point, as much as you can tell, what is the best thing Gus Bradley does, and what is the thing you'd like to see him most improve on?
I think the players love him, which is cool. You know, it's nice that your players like you. I don't like the, let's get better. I don't like the process, quote unquote. I like, let's win.
Let's win games.
You know, here's one thing. And I'll granted, you know, I think a little bit differently, I guess. But, you know, there's a sign underneath the stadium where the players, you know, where they walk through the whole thing, which I would hate as a player. That's too long of a walk. I mean, gosh, dang, get me out to the field.
Oh, yeah, the wraparound.
Oh, my gosh. I got to walk a quarter of a mile before I get to the stadium, to the field, but whatever. But there's a sign that says, commit to being better. And I can't stand that sign. How about commit to winning today? Let's win today. You know, the process, I'm not a big fan of that. So maybe it's a philosophical thing, you know?
I think that's what it is. I mean, his idea is if you just focus on winning, if you focus on what you need to do to get better, the winning should come if you're capable of winning. And I understand what you're saying.
But
it's a bottom-line business.
You can flip that around. Focus on winning, you're going
to
be better.
But how do you get to winning? Right, you have to be better. You have to play well, right? You have to play. So I think that it's a matter of semantics. I think he wants to win.
Of course he does. No doubt. I mean, they all do.
Right.
I mean, that's the name of the game. So I don't know.
You think there's not enough repercussions?
Well,
if they don't win, I guess maybe is that way a fair way to put it?
Let's talk about the beginning of the year.
Okay.
A lot of missed assignments on the back end. Anybody sit?
Well, they cut Winston Guy.
Okay.
I mean, it's an opening day starter.
Fair. Other than that?
They set Dwayne Grotz for a half because he wasn't getting the job done.
Okay. I just look, young, no young, missed assignments are inexcusable. Everybody should be held accountable for missed assignments. And I'm not saying that he doesn't. You know, this is, I'm not on the inside. You know, I'm not in the meetings. I'm sure he, you know, gets on them. The coaches get him on that. I'm not trying to paint that kind of picture. But the perception to me is that it's okay. It's okay. We're going to correct it. It's a process. We're learning. I say bump that. Let's cut through all that and go out there and win this ball game.
And as a former player, maybe you have a better understanding of this too. A coach like Bradley, I think that there is accountability within the building for what players
sure,
do on the field.
I think
that cutting Winston Guy, I think putting a guy like Dwayne Grotz, who was a third-round pick the year before that you brought in to be a starter, mm-hmm. started his entire rookie year when he was healthy, was a starter from day one this year, sitting him on the bench and saying, you're not getting the job done, and you're going to have to watch for a little while. Yep. I think that Gus does those things well. I think that he's not willing to put those players in that kind of spotlight with the media. I think that he protects his guys.
That's
and I don't
fair.
Know, you as a former player, how you feel about where that line needs to be drawn as far as, is it good for a coach to hold a player accountable with us and inside that locker room as well?
No, I think it's more, I shouldn't say that it's not important, but it's more important that it's internal. Now, here's a question, or here's a statement. I would have sat Cyprian for a while. Now, Granny's a high pick. You know, there comes, you know, there's politics involved in professional football.
Absolutely.
You know, you got money in the guy. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to sit him. It's a high draft. It looks bad if he's not playing, et cetera, et cetera. But I would sit him. I mean, how many times does he jump the under route? They high-low him. Reggie, we talked about the break. They used to do it to Reggie Nelson when he was younger. He went up to Cincy. They must have coached him up because he doesn't do that a whole lot anymore. But, you know, you see that with Cyprian. He jumps that under route every single time. Now, it's not easy. You know, linebackers, strong safeties, what we want to move forward. We want to come up and hit somebody. You know, you do a run fake at us, we may take a step, you know, forward because we're so antsy to come up. But as a safety, even a strong safety, you got to be very aware of that guy running the post but on your outside behind you when they're coming in. I mean, I rewind while I'm watching the game like a lot of people. There's a lot of plays. I don't know how many. One side, they run the post down the middle. The other side, he comes across in front of him, and he's taking a look into, or at least stepping towards that.
They run a lot of combos at Sip, and he doesn't handle it all that well. And there's been big plays this year. That Jeremy Hill run up in Cincinnati, that's Cyprian not getting to the right gap. And we've seen that in his 2 years here.
That one. I mean, he's right there to make the hit. Make the hit. I mean, for crying out loud, you're right there. So here's an idea, though. And I know he plays a lot down, but maybe make him a backer, Sip. Maybe make him a, you know, and then go get more of a, you know, now Granny, you know, he's one of the best. One of my favorite players is Chancellor. I mean, he's a player.
He's big as a linebacker.
Oh, well, he is.
Cam Chancellor is massive.
6'3", 230, and can cover the field and deliver the wood, you know, so.
But he's also playing with a guy in Earl Thomas who is a great free-ranging back end of the defense guy, whereas, you know, Pete Prisco, I think, was the first guy to mention Devin McCourty, at least connect that as an idea of here's a target. Where would you prioritize, I guess, free safety in the Jaguars' offseason acquisitions?
Number two.
Behind?
O-line.
Just O-line in general. Upgrade the O-line.
Oh, I think you need a right tackle. I think you need an attitude adjustment, like I said. I don't give him the young thing. I mean, come on. You either can handle the guy across from you or you can't. I think he needs to get a little bit bigger. You know, to me, a left tackle should be massive. You know, I went to Buscelli's, and I'm not, you can't compare him to Tony. Tony was one of the best, but I'll take a Russell Okung, you know, that kind of comparison. But I went to his shop for a jock this year, which is a great event during Christmas time, and the O-line was there. They weren't that physically imposing. I was like, man, they're not
Linder's
very.
Linder's a big boy.
Yeah, he is a big guy. He is a big guy. And he's a good player. But, you know, maybe they need a year of, you know, growth.
Well, I'm not trying to make excuses, but just reasons, maybe, that, you know, here you have Jokel start out. He plays a month at right tackle, so barely gets his feet wet, right? Breaks the ankle. Yep. He's, instead of working on his game, he's rehabbing the injury, okay? So. You're smiling. Tell me if
The boat heals in a month. You know
they're saying it's pretty bad.
All right, 2 months. I'll give him another month.
Well, I mean, it seemed from what I'm told, there was a lot more time spent having to rehab that, that the injury was more significant than your typical okay. guy at a cracked ankle. Okay. I'm not fair enough.
That's fair. You know more than me on that.
Believe
regard.
Me, bro. I think he needs to play better too.
There's been the conversation with this offseason since he got through the season healthy that Jokel is the type of guy who on that frame probably can carry 20 more pounds.
Yeah.
You know? And that's something they're going to work on this offseason that they would have been focusing on last year. But he had the leg problem.
Let me throw a question.
Doesn't mean he's going to be any better. You hope he's better.
Yeah, I mean, weight would help him. Strength would help him.
No doubt.
Well, let's take his performance against J.J. Watt. Two games. First game and second game, right? Second game, you probably handle him a little bit better. Even though J.J.'s phenomenal.
Right.
Obviously, it's not an easy thing to do. Maybe handle him a little bit better. I don't think he did. You know, and I know that's a tough, you know, well, Tom, it's J.J. Watt. I understand it, but... You know, you're left tackle in the National Football League. And I don't think other teams say, well, it's J.J. Watt, so, you know, it's okay.
I mean, J.J. Watt's great. He's going to get his, but he also gets him in bunches at times, which means that there are games when he doesn't get him.
Yeah.
Right? That means somebody is doing a decent job on him, at least slowing him down a little bit.
I want some me. You know what? And this is for all the young players out there. I don't care what sport. There's nothing wrong with being a nasty, aggressive rough, tough son of a gun, and then a gentleman off the field. There's nothing wrong with that. I think every kid, every old lineman, look, if I was a coach, which I'm not, but if I was, I don't care what level, my old line, one of my first meetings would be old line and D line in a room. You're my identity. You're my tone setters. Then I get the old line in the room. And I'll say, listen, I want you to finish every single block. I want you to embarrass a guy in front of you. I want you to have that tenacity. Someone late hits one of your guys. I want you to go over there and defend him. Someone hits your quarterback late. I want you to go over there and defend him. I want that type of mentality. That's a mentality. That's an identity. And when you have that, now granted, maybe I'm biased because what was our O-line? Forget Tony. Tony was great, but you had Leon. You had Wydell.
Right.
You had Ben Coleman.
Right.
You know, and then you either had Tilsky or DeMarco. All those guys were mean sons of guns. Throwing Wiegert when he got here. Remember Wiegert when he did the 1-2, bam, and knocked out. What's his name?
Bullware.
Yeah. Right? Oh, my God. I know he got thrown out of the game, but that's the kind of lineman I want to have on my team. Now, I don't know those guys personally. Maybe they are like that. But it doesn't show on the field on Sunday.
I think you're saying what we've heard from a lot of people, and I think you're absolutely right. You hate to see the quarterback on the ground and not having the O-line. I mean, even if it's, you know, unnecessary, kind of just shoving somebody away from
him. But let's make no mistake. They have talent. That's the thing. So somebody, whether it's a coach, a veteran, or somebody, has to change their mentality.
Well, I mean, George Arnold out all year, how much could that have impacted the situation?
I'm sure it did.
You
but
know?
You know what? Luke Butkus, whose dad was just like that.
I understand.
You know, and I don't know Luke. I've never met him before. You know, I have no idea about him. But that old line did not play like that. And
so,
they should.
So, look, maybe you go for some guys in the draft at some point if the value presents itself. But they need to get guys in here ready to play.
I agree.
Right now,
I agree.
I mean, so you got to go find a right tackle.
You mentioned Bulaga, whatever.
Bulaga.
Yeah. See that a guy like that, you know, would set the tone, and that would be infectious. You know, that's one thing about a locker room. You know, and if you have the right guys, not only who do it on the field but vocalize it, you can change mentality. You can change that, you know, that tenacity like that.
Line coach, Tom McManus, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. You're welcome to weigh in 641-1010. You can, of course, tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at Meathead55 Tom McManus. We'll come back and we'll talk where the Jags need to go, continue to talk about what they need to add to this team in addition to the O-line and the back end of the defense. Mike Dempsey, Tom McManus, Fat Tony here with you. A Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday continues on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey, coming down the home stretch here, Mike Dempsey, Tom McManus, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today, the Foundation Professionals of Florida fan feedback spotlight today, simply asking you, who's going to match up in the Super Bowl? Who's going to win these games this weekend? Who do you like, Tommy? Woo!
I tell you what, I want Brady to win another title. Gives him four.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
put
him
in the conversation of the best of all time. He's in the conversation, but would help his resume.
You know what I like about him? I mean, you think about it. He's a high-profile guy. His wife is as well. He is. But yet, every Sunday, man, he's dying to win. I love that about him. So I'm going to take New England at home.
Okay.
I think, you know, I want to say Seattle at home because they're so hard and they're so good. But man, if Roger, I like the young talent of what Rodgers working with. David, what's that number 17?
Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I like that kid. I like the tight end. He's not young. Quarles, if they get him, and so you know, if Green Bay's D plays like they did against Dallas, I think they've got a shot.
Yeah,
but I think it's gonna be tough to beat Seattle.
Seattle's so strong at home, man.
You know, a bucket list of mine is to go see a game at Seattle.
I went. And it was the one, the Jags, what was the score, 41-0?
Something. That's it? Not
it. Was, I got to see another one. I was thinking Mike Sins-Walker got suspended for the game. What a trip that was. What a wasted trip. Honestly, though, that stadium, phenomenal.
Oh, I bet.
Unbelievable. Just the look of it, the atmosphere. I mean, the amount of, I've been probably to, I think I counted like 20 stadiums so far. The face painting is more equivalent to a college stadium that was going on in Seattle than you see anywhere in the NFL.
That's almost better than, you know, seeing the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders before the game, I would think. You know, pretty close.
You know, you see, go see Dallas up in Seattle. Right? although they probably don't know if the cheerleaders travel like that. But, right. Tommy, let's talk about the OC here while we got some time. Tom McManus here with us, of course. Former Jaguar linebacker, you think it was the right move, first of all, to depart with Jed Fish?
I do. I thought he became predictable, you know, in his play calm. But I also think it was, I think Gus had to do something. You know, I think Gus had to make a move like that in order to, you know, I don't want to call it a PR move because I know he probably put a lot of time into it and effort and thinking about, you know, what to do with Jed Fish. But I think it was a good move. Now, the flip side of that is you've got to find a guy that is willing to take a chance because you just never know. I mean, are you here for a year? Are you here for 2 years? Do you win right away and get an extension for another five? I think that's a big up-in-the-air type thing. You know, you look at these guys like Callahan and Linehan and where they're going and where they're staying. You know, I would think they would factor that into the mix, you know. You know, what's going to happen? What if they're 3-13 again?
Although you look like Callahan's going to Washington, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, Jay, you think that Jay Gruden has job security? I don't know. You know what I mean?
He got 2 years?
Well, maybe. Possibly. You know.
Now, see the difference, though? Last year was his first year?
First year.
If he loses again next year,
but there was
gone,
already that talk, can RG3 and Jay Gruden coexist as one of them have
RG3's to go? RG3's weak. I'd get rid of him.
Well, I think he's going to be back.
He's weak.
Mentally weak.
No, I just think his game, it's over. I think everyone's figured him out. You know, look, you guys know, you know, that first year when you come on the scene and they're not ready for you, you probably do pretty well. But once they get you on tape, go back to Reggie Nelson. His rookie year was phenomenal. If you remember, right? Didn't he have like five picks and like did pretty well? Well, guess what? They got him on film. They're like, check this out. We high-low this guy. We're going to have touchdown after touchdown on him. We'll drop rainbows on this defense, you know? And that's what happened. So I think they figured out RG3. So I'm not a fan. You know, mentally, physically weak. Who knows? But he wouldn't be my QB.
What do you, how do you want to see this offense run? Like, what kind of offensive coordinator? What kind of philosophy or system would you like to see him play?
Well, I'm still the, I think great coordinators, Mike, they have to adjust during a game, right? So you either set up the run for the pass or you set up the pass for the run, right? And if you look at the Pats, they do it probably as good as anybody else. And you have to adjust that. If they shut down that run, then you know what? Let's open it up a little bit and then move them back. Cause look, as a defender, you know, if they're running the ball, we're moving up. You're passing the ball, we're moving back. And if we move back or we're in nickel and we only got seven in the box, that's when I run the ball. You know, because it's hard to defend that thing. So, to me, it's got to be a type of coach like that. I'm still of the, look, you got to have a workhorse at tailback. And then the play-action pass. And, you know, we talked about the tight end position. How about using the tight end more? You know, you look at all these great offenses. Think of all the great tight ends in the league, the Wittens of the world. They use them. They go down the seam. And as a linebacker, the seam throw is one of the hardest to defend. Why? Because my back is to the ball. And I can't, you know, it's hard to read, you know, I mean, you're supposed to look at their eyes as you're running full speed. You know, okay, their eyes get big. Here comes the ball. Turn and pick that arm up and try to knock it down. It's a very hard play to defend. And as a young QB, it's one of the more safer and easier throws to make because it's right in front of you.
The ironic thing, Tony, watching every practice, almost every single practice this offseason, you thought Clay Harbor was going to get 100 balls coming his way. Now, I know he got hurt, but it was the position itself. They were featuring it in a lot of practices, it seemed, Tom, and then it didn't translate. Now, Clay Harbor gets hurt to start the year.
Yep.
Then shortly after, Mercedes is hurt, and he's out for a long stretch. So you were, for a while there, you were playing with scraps at tight end, too. So there's a little bit of that. But I think there's a big feeling with, you know, with Charles Clay out there, with Julius Thomas out there, whether it's Jordan Cameron, whomever that is, that they're going to that's a position they're going to spend money on.
But you don't have to have a big name to use them. I mean, you know, you talk about Witten. Who's that other tight end they use? Escobar.
Escobar, Gavin.
He's more of a
Escobar,
blocker,
yeah.
Right? But, they use him. There's other tight ends out there that I can't name off the top of my head, but they get utilized. I'm telling you, that seam route is one of the hardest ones to defend. And then if you got the wide receivers to go along with it, you know, and the running back out of the backfield, you really got something to work with your offensive talent.
What do you think about the young wide receiver group here? Like, what do you see for all three of the guys who are rookies this year, Robinson, Lee, and Hearns, where do you see them in the future?
Love Hearns. Love them. And I love Robinson, too. I think you got two really, really good players there. I don't want to see anybody go, but he will be picked up. I'd let Shorts go. I've never thought he was a number one. I never thought he was that type of playmaker. I think he could be a really nice number three
the
slot.
You know, to be honest, I don't think they ever necessarily saw him as a number one. You look at where he was drafted, you know, and brought in, and then they go after Blackman, and we all know what happened there.
Right.
So let me finish your thought on Lee.
Yeah, Lee's got to show me a little bit more, but he's got, you know, look, he made some plays, you know, but he's got to, you know, catch the rock more consistently. Look, guys, we know this, and we hope, and everybody, I would think, you know, would hope that Blackman gets it together for himself first.
How big of a difference?
Huge. Huge. He's like Dez Bryant to me with the right opportunity. You know what I mean? He's a difference maker. He's a playmaker. I think he is he can be a phenomenal, phenomenal wide receiver if he can keep his act together. I love that.
Talk
kid.
Some sense to O'Halloran, please.
He don't like him?
He doesn't think he can play a lick. All right.
No, we both came in after the Week 17 game at Houston.
Yeah.
Cecil had that ball in the first and goal. And in my head, I'm like, if that's Blackman, he snatches that thing out of the air. Blackman's doesn't matter who's hitting
awesome.
Him. That's a touchdown. Yep. And they may wind up winning that game. It's, he is that kind of physical, imposing guy.
Definitely.
And they've missed him on the field.
Could you imagine having Blackman healthy, Hearns on the outside, D-Rob as your slot? That's a pretty dang good trio right there.
Or Allen Robinson.
Oh, sorry, Allen Robinson. Yeah, Allen Robinson. Sorry, yeah.
I knew who you meant.
Yeah,
They lost a lot when he got hurt.
Sonny tweeted, he wants to give a layman's explanation of high-lowing Reggie Nelson. What does that mean when you high-low?
When you flash an under route in front of the defender and throw a deep route behind him, that's high-lowing him. And when you're a safety, you got to play deep to short. And when you're in zone, whether you're a linebacker or a safety, you got to play deep to short. They would do it to us linebackers too, but it would be with a tight end and a back. You throw the tight end on a 12, 15 yard in, you throw the back on the other side as a 5 yard cross. Am I jumping that low route? Or am I staying back on the high route, then jumping the low route when I see the
Nelson
ball
would have a tendency to jump the
shorter
Cyprian route.
Yeah, as Cyprian does as well.
Right.
That's how you high-low somebody.
Which I think, you know, the hope is if they can get a free safety in who can cover some of that deep stuff, maybe you focus on Cyprian as more as an in-the-box kind of guy, and that doesn't become as much of an issue.
Well, then he's got to be the guy you can count on covering a tight end down the field. You know, and that's big.
So, have you looked at the draft at all? I mean, have you thought about it at all? They have the third pick.
Yeah.
A lot of talk that Leonard Williams out of USC, defensive
number
lineman.
94.
You tell me.
I think so, yeah.
He's got
number?
The funky face mask.
He does.
Yeah. He's a player.
You know, would D-line be an area you would look at that early in the draft?
You know, I don't know a ton about the kid from Iowa, Scherf, but he may be a guy I would look at that position, unless you grab a vet that can come in, like you said. I think D-line would be something I would have to address. You can never have enough good playmaking defensive linemen. you know, in my opinion.
And
so.
Clemens and Red Bryant aren't going to play forever. You know, that's right. The thing, too. You know, yeah. So you want to come at them in waves. I don't know if the value is going to be there at offensive tackle. You know, it's amazing how many people think it's crazy to think that they could take a tackle in the top 10. I think if they trade back, I think it opens up that possibility.
Yeah, I think what people forget, though, Mike, is the college season's only a portion of their evaluation. Now the real evaluation comes. How do they look as they move? How do they look in the agility and the speed and the strength? That's any position. How do they interview? You know, that's where the real, I think, when you go from college to pro. Yeah, you're going to look at the tape. The tape, Mayock. I love Mayock. He always says that. Does the tape, back up what we see in shorts?
Right.
And it has to. So the tape's part of it, and it's a big part. But it's also big to see, all right, let's see this kid. I want it, look, get a kid in the room, one-on-one, look me in the eye, tell me what kind of person you are, tell me what kind of player you are. Are you coming to battle for me? Are you going to, you know, look, I different sport, but swimming, okay? My wife's nephew, my nephew, just got a scholarship to Auburn. And we talk, he's a 500, they, you know, swimming forever. I'm like, what the heck? I mean, it's crazy. But I always tell him, I said, listen, before, you know, he'd call me, be like, yeah, I got this big event. We went to his high school championship, became a state champion in the 500, crushed the field. And he, you know, we'd talk about things. I said, listen, it's like a fight. You're going in, if you're going to fight somebody one-on-one, you're going in half-assed, you're going in to win. He's like, going in to win, Uncle Tom. I said, damn right. That's how you should attack your swim, your race every single time. So that's the kind of guy I want. So I think you can get a lot out of that if you're good at it, right? Now you can tell a BSer, right? You know, and this goes for anybody.
I don't know. I'm still employed, so I don't know if everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll go back to Mr. Miyagi. Always look eye.
There you go.
You ain't looking me in the eye and telling me how you really feel, then you're not the type of person I want in my life, nor on my football team. So I think you can get a lot out of, all right, let's see the tape. All right, we know you're a good player. Let's see him work out. Let's see him move around. Holy cow, what an athlete, right? A lot of strength. Now let's get in the room one-on-one. Let's see what kind of person you are. You coming to freaking knock someone's head off, right? Are you going to bury him in the ground? Are you going to hurt him? And then be nice off the field. You can't be an idiot off the field. Then you're my guy.
Let me give you a few tweets that we've had coming in here since you joined us here, and then we'll leave you with that thought. Always look high. Mikey A. says, great to hear you back on sports radio. Suck it up. Tommy, great hearing Meathead 55 on Jaguars today. Hope you'll have him back often. Miss him on the radio. Love the honesty. Tommy is from Brad Piper. Good to hear you saying, let's win now. Let's see. What about this? No offense to you guys. But Tom McManus should be a weekly or biweekly guest. Best show ever. Go Jags. That's from Terry. Thanks, Tommy, for calling it like you see it. That's from Dorian. Let's see what else.
Hey, can I say this, Mike?
Yeah.
And thank you for everybody for saying it. I do it out of love. I really do. I mean,
tough love.
It's tough love. Well, I think everybody should have tough love in their life with great communication and all that. But at the end of the day, it is. It's about wanting this team to succeed and this city to get back on the freaking map of the National Football League.
I'd like to leave it at that, but I want to answer Susan's question quickly. Just your opinion on this. She says she agrees with the O-line needing to have mean, tough guy mentality. Why not give Incognito a chance? Would you give Richie Incognito a
chance? You know, getting him one-on-one and talking to him would do wonders for me.
Find out what makes him tick.
Well, find out that he's not going to be a jackass off the field.
Yeah.
Or, you know, listen, you got to do it. You know, it's like, look. It's like, and I don't want to keep bringing up the Pats, right? But you do it our way or you find the door pretty quick. So, yeah, a guy like that, absolutely, I'd bring in and at least interview him and see where his head is at.
Stick around. Let's chat with the boys at XL Prime.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
All right, Tom McManus back with us here. Good to see you, Tommy. Thanks to Matt Williamson as well from ESPN.com for joining us. And follow Tom on Twitter, @Meathead55, and let us know if you'd like to hear more of Tommy on Jaguars today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Tom McManus wrapping up.